It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. I'm coming to you live from Atlanta, Georgia. Thank you to everybody tuned in, locked in all over North America. I hope you're safe. I hope you're well. I hope you are absolutely amazing. I'll be hanging out with you for one more hour. This show gets started at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. I'm in Atlanta. Thank you to our producer, Ryan Botcher, for holding things down on the boards. And thank you to you for listening, wherever you might be. It's been a busy day in the world of sports. Tom Thibodeau fired as head coach of the New York Knicks. C.J. Stroud is dealing with a sore shoulder. And it's June. I mean, he took a beating last year, but I mean, damn, it's still hurting in June. But I hope that man's shoulder is okay. Micah Parsons, they hope that he shows up to work next week for the Dallas Cowboys. He's looking for a new contract. Now we have Jonnu Smith, currently a member of the Miami Dolphins, could be a member sooner than later of the Pittsburgh Steelers. What does that mean for Aaron Rodgers? Well, probably nothing. I don't think anything is moving Aaron Rodgers to show up to work except for the day that he feels he absolutely has to sign a contract. He's not under contract to anybody. 888-710-4ISN is the number. That's 888-710-4ISN. Of course, at the end of the show, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. Today, as I just said, is June 3rd. It's been that way all year long. You could always find me online everywhere I exist at JR Sport Brief. Hey, thank you so much to Ryland Stiles for joining us. Covers all things Oklahoma City Thunder for Sports Illustrated. Thank you as well to Russell Baxter, an NFL writer and historian, for coming through and having a chat with us about some of these huge stories in the NFL that we got today. Everything from Jonnu Smith and whether or not he gets moved, when Aaron Rodgers shows up to work, what's going on with C.J. Stroud. And so if you missed any of those conversations, go ahead and hit rewind on the Free Odyssey app. Well, speaking of big news, I want you to hear the big news that came down the pipe this afternoon. Tom Thibodeau fired as head coach of the New York Knicks. This is what I heard on CBS Sports HQ.
Major breaking news from the NBA. The Knicks firing head coach Tom Thibodeau after 5 seasons, according to ESPN. Led the Knicks to back-to-back Eastern Conference runs this season, making it to the Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 25 years before losing to the Pacers in 6 games. Under Tibbs, New York won 50 games in each of the past 2 seasons for the first time since the 90s. Despite that regular season success, the Knicks will now enter the offseason in search of a new coach.
What else is new? The New York Knicks, I'm not going to say they do something stupid, but their owner meddles. I mean, what else is new? He says that he's not meddling. And now we get reports that he basically sat in on some of the exit meetings with some of the star players. And, well, he basically got rid of Tom Thibodeau. And Leon Rose is the guy who fired him. And then Jim Dolan was in support. Sure. Highly doubt that. Jalen Brunson was asked after the New York Knicks were eliminated whether or not Tom Thibodeau is a championship-caliber coach who can lead them. And Jalen Brunson wasn't trying to hear any of it. So I highly doubt he was the guy who basically said, hello, we need to fire the guy. I doubt that. Listen to this.
Do you kind of feel that going forward he's the same guy to lift you guys the rest of the way, that next level?
Is that a real question right now? You just asked me if I believe that if he's the right guy. Yes.
Thanks, guys.
Come on.
Yeah, New York Knicks are going to do stupid things. I think Tom Thibodeau wasn't necessarily the problem. I think there's always things that you can do. I'd be more concerned with the roster construction and the depth. Yeah, Tom Thibodeau still has $30 million coming his way. Good luck to him in his future endeavors. And good luck to the Knicks. I don't know how the hell they're going to, swing and prove in this roster. But good luck to them. Speaking of improving a roster, earlier today we found out that C.J. Stroud, heading into his third season, the man has been unable to throw a football here during OTAs. This is a team that went 10-7 last year. They did get smacked around by the Kansas City Chiefs in that playoff game. A matter of fact, they sacked C.J. Stroud 8 times. I mean, in the regular season, he was sacked 52 times, and he has a history of shoulder issues dating back to college. And now here we are in June. This young quarterback can't throw the football because of general soreness. I mean, even the media, they were talking with the head coach of the Texans today, D'Amico Ryans, and they asked him so many questions about, wait, why can't he throw a football? D'Amico Ryans was asked if he had shoulder surgery. Listen to this.
Do you have any work on his shoulder in the offseason?
That's it for CJ, guys. On the questions, that's it. What I said, that's it for him. Like, his general soreness, and we're taking extra precaution with him. We're not going to rush him into anything. He'll be fine. When the moment is for him to be ready to go, he'll be ready to go.
Wow. I don't know if that's news that anybody wants to hear about your starting quarterback. It's not like C.J. Stroud has been throwing a football in the rock around in the NFL for the past 15 years. He's been beaten to a pulp. This is a young quarterback who can't throw. General soreness? That sounds like more than general soreness. General soreness goes away. But what do I know? I don't play in the NFL. What do I know about general soreness? I'm not waking up hurting the next day. That's just called being alive. My pain is just called being alive. Anyway. It's not the only news that we got out of Texas today. Everybody's on pins and needles as to whether or not Michael Parsons is going to show up, not this week, because he hasn't, but for next week when the Dallas Cowboys hold a mandatory minicamp. The new head coach of the Dallas Cowboys, Brian Schottenheimer, is going to take me a while to get used to that one. He was asked whether or not he expects to see Micah in camp next week. Listen.
I would assume. Mike and I talked a couple of days ago. Again, he's doing a little bit of traveling. But again, everything that he and I have talked about, I expect that he will be here. Like I said, I say it each and every week. Mike and I have had great communication, everything I've asked him to do and vice versa. He's followed through on. So I would expect to see him.
I expect to see. Well, I think he'll show up. Do a couple interviews. Talk about how, you know, yeah, he's going to show up to work, but of course he wants a new contract. And I think he even knows that by doing that, he's not going to get a new contract, not immediately. But he has to do it for performative reasons. He has to egg on and kind of push the button so the media continues asking questions. That way, when he gets to training camp, there are even more questions as to what this man is going to do. Is he going to show up to training camp? Is he going to be a holdout? I think the answer is yes. Like, is it too late to move from the Buffalo Bills to the Dallas Cowboys? Like, how come the Dallas Cowboys don't have their own version every single year of Hard Knocks? Might as well, right? 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Let's go to Todd. Todd is calling from Maryland. Hey, Todd, you're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up?
How you doing, buddy?
I'm excellent. How are you, Todd?
Good. I'm real good, but I heard on the updates that we lost a great player, Jim Marshall, of the Minnesota Vikings. He was a wonderful player in the NFL. So, condolences to all of Jim's family, for sure, and friends, for that matter.
A purple people eater who played more games consecutive than anybody besides Brett Favre.
I didn't know that. Wow, that's a new one on me. Really?
Yeah, let me see. I'll tell you right. 282 consecutive games played.
Oh, in pro football. Wow.
Yeah, and Brett Favre obviously beat him for that.
Yeah, that's unbelievable. And the other thing is, too, JR, I didn't realize, of course, they were in 4 Super Bowls. They didn't come back with a win. You know, the Vikings didn't. Yeah, I know. But I didn't realize Jim Marshall was in 19 playoff games.
I didn't realize. Well, he was playing before I was born. And so that's.
Yes, sir.
That's news me to
too.
Me as well.
Well,
one thing I do know is, and that people did not want to hear, is what you had to say about Minnesota's right. unsuccessful run at Super Bowls, so Todd. I don't think people in Minneapolis wanted to hear that.
Probably not. But it's just a very sad day. It really is. He was a great player.
Yeah, from everything that I've seen and read, without a shadow of a doubt. Well, thank you, Todd.
Yes, sir, brother. Take care.
All right, thank you so much. Shout out to Todd for calling from Maryland. I wanted to have a thank you about that at the end of the show. I mean, it's a little different to talk about the firing of Thibodeau and think about some recent players and immediately just, I don't want to eulogize the man right here at the beginning, but we'll get into that at the end as well. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4ISN. Mark is here from California. You're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up, Mark?
Well, JR, today Christmas came early for the New York Knicks because
oh my goodness,
I've been waiting for this for a long time.
Okay, you're on, Mark. You understand you're on the radio. You don't have to hit a soliloquy. Just go ahead. Elaborate. Speak.
Well, who do you think in your? There's a lot of names out there. Knicks are going to have to cast a very wide range. Everyone's talking about Mike Malone, but Knicks need to stay away from Malone. He reminds me exactly of Tibbs. Like, he uses the same lineup. He doesn't play the young guys. I don't want Johnny Bryant. Obviously, he's, you know, just like Tibbs. I don't want him. The guy that I do want is Taylor Jenkins. I want Taylor Jenkins very bad. I saw what he did in Memphis. I was like, I think he'd be fantastic for the Knicks. But with your expertise, JR, who do you think is going to be the next head coach of the Knicks, if you could guess?
I would think it'd either be Taylor Jenkins or Michael Malone. I talked about this throughout the course of the show. I wouldn't have made the move. You know, I don't think it's so much about who's going to coach the team, but more so about who the coach is going to have to have an opportunity to lead. That's it. Like, who and what are the players on the team? And so whether it's Taylor, I don't think Taylor Jenkins would have got anything extra out of these New York Knicks than Tom Thibodeau just did.
Well, I mean, I don't really think he got anything extra out of them. OG Anunoby had his worst three-point shooting season. They couldn't find a pick and roll.
Mark, what I said is I do not believe that Taylor Jenkins would have gotten anything else out of the New York Knicks any more than Tom Thibodeau did. So I don't
think it would have been a 50-win season.
I don't think it would have made a difference. If we want to talk about winning a championship, okay? If that's what the New York, and this is what the New York Knicks put out in his statement. Oh, we appreciate Tom for what he did. They sent him a bunch of nice pleasantries and a PR statement on social media. Fine, whatever. Whatever your justification is for getting rid of him. Now we have to find somebody to take us to the next step. Given what we've seen this year and what the roster was, I said this earlier in the show. I don't care if we went back in the time machine and found Pat Riley or Red Auerbach. I don't care who we put back in here, Phil Jackson.
Right.
It does not matter. I think this New York Knicks team has limitations on its roster as it relates to depth, as it relates to size. I think we all know about the draft picks that were given up last year. And I thought this was clear as day from last summer into the beginning of training camp. And so I don't care who coaches the team. It doesn't matter to me. Tell me what you're going to do with the roster. That's more interesting and will have a little bit more to do with how they're going to win or how they're going to compete, less than who's coaching the squad.
And what I said after Boston is I was kind of hoping that they would flame out because Tibbs will be there. Because after we beat, you know, Detroit, the way we beat Detroit, it was like a hard-fought battle. We went into Boston and we're like, okay, this is where we lose. And then Tibbs could at least keep a job if he keeps it competitive. But then we beat Boston. So now we're like, oh, my gosh. We're four wins away, and everything just got accelerated. But if you watch that Indiana series, I understand game one, the debacle, 17 points. That's not on Tibbs. That's on the players. But the rest of the series, he just could not make adjustments. Mark. And Rick Carlisle, they don't grow on trees, right? Like, you have to find a guy that's going to fit. But
Mark,
I wanted
do you
it, but
think
then again, I kind of
Mark, I don't care about the singular games. I'm looking at the season in whole. I'm looking at the playoffs. I'm looking at everything that they did. Do you think if Taylor Jenkins was here, the New York Knicks would have won a championship?
I think the defense would have been much improved.
I didn't ask you that. Do you think if Taylor Jenkins was coach? It's a yes or no question. It's not that complicated.
I think if Taylor Jenkins was coaching the New York Knicks, we would be in the NBA Finals right now. We would. We okay. would be in the NBA
okay,
Finals.
Okay, Mark. Yeah. All right. That didn't answer my question, but thank you. Appreciate you.
Thanks so much.
Okay, thank you. Ryan, was that a difficult question I just asked? No?
No, it's a yes or no.
Okay. I'm just making sure. I didn't know if it was a tough one. I don't know if I asked him for the cure for cancer. I just asked, do you think this coach, Taylor Jenkins, would have won the Knicks a championship? And he's just like, well, I think they'd have been to the finals. That doesn't answer my question.
A non-answer is a no.
Okay. Yeah. I was like, damn, is it that tough? I didn't ask for your social security number on the radio, man. What do you have to think about that when you have an answer for that? Anyway. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Man, Tom Thibodeau. Who likes Tom Thibodeau? Anybody? I don't know. Does he have a wife? I don't think. No, he doesn't have a wife. Does
Joakim
he have
Noah.
Kids?
Joakim Noah, maybe?
Oh, Luol Deng. Luol Deng might be one of the people that. Yeah, I think if there's one guy that he ran into the ground, it would certainly be him. So I don't. Know if anybody appreciate him. Somebody somewhere likes Tom Thibodeau. I like Tom Thibodeau. I do. Give him some better players next time, okay? How about you do that? 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. I will get to more of your calls on the other side of the break. Of course, we'll get into a few things that took place this day in sports history. It has been June 3rd all day long. I told you that Mercedes Lewis, he has some words about Aaron Rodgers. Is this another Aaron Rodgers hint? Is this another Aaron Rodgers career hint? Well, we'll get into that. We'll talk some more. We got a lot to get into before we roll out. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. You know, we talked about Tom Thibodeau getting fired by the New York Knicks. We did mention Michael Parsons, Brian Schottenheimer, with his hopes that, you know, his star edge rusher Michael Parsons shows up to work next week. Next week are mandatory workouts in minicamp. Michael Parsons actually responded about 30 minutes ago. He put out a tweet. He says, I will be there. I haven't missed a minicamp in 4 years. Even though the contract is not done, I have teammates in a playbook. I'm preparing as if I'll be on the field the first week of camp, but it's in the owner's hands. I'm ready to win a Super Bowl. And so it's not like he said, I will be there next week for minicamp. I will be there for training camp. He basically said he's preparing like he will be on the field, as if I will be on the field. There's intricacies in language here. You know, I said before I even saw this statement that I think Michael Parsons, is he going to show up next week? I think he would. I think he wants to talk to the media. Is he going to show up to camp? I don't know. I believe he would hold out to try to send a message. I think next week is kind of his appetizer to set the stage for what he wants. He'll be able to talk to the media. It's no different than what Trey Hendrickson did. He strategically put out a statement before the Bengals started OTAs. He put a statement out to ESPN so he would be asked about it the next time he stood in front of the media. And I think Michael Parsons is doing the same thing. So not a shock that he would put this at the hands of management to basically go ahead and get things done. And also making it clear that, yeah, I'll be at minicamp next week, but there's no guarantee that I'm just going to wake up and show up to training camp. And so Michael Parsons, negotiating in public, go for it. Apparently he's going to make more money than Myles Garrett and also Ja'Marr Chase. He's going to be in that 40-plus million-dollar range that is going to put him in a space of being the highest-paid player in the NFL that is not a quarterback. We'll see. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. These are some of the benefits of being a professional athlete nowadays. You have social media. It's just a matter of how you want to utilize it, and you're going to use it for good or bad. You're going to complain. You're going to make a statement. Like Michael Parsons, he got his own podcast on Bleacher Report as well. Reggie is calling from the Red Baton in Louisiana, Baton Rouge. Hey, Reggie, you're on the JR Sport Brief Show. What's up?
Oh no! I hold for JR.
This is JR, Reggie. What's up?
JR.
Yeah, this is.
I like Tom Thibodeau. I love the man. I think he a damn good coach. But the only problem be that people don't think he be play enough player.
Right.
Well, the reason he don't play enough player. So they don't give him. They don't give Tom Thibodeau enough good player. He got to play the player that can win the game. He ain't got no good player. Now, do people know how to reach Tom Thibodeau? Do they know how to call him?
Like what you mean on like a cell phone? What do you mean? How do they reach Tom Thibodeau? They have to fire him. I assume they called him on a cell phone.
Where I go with this, JR, is that the Pelican need to get a hold of Tom Thibodeau.
Oh my God.
Zion need to lose him a lot of weight, baby. Or they could trade the man to Milwaukee and get Giannis down here.
You think that Tom Thibodeau would fix Zion? Did you hear? Please don't do too much commenting on it. Do you understand that Zion, outside of being overweight, is now facing allegations of rape? Did you hear about that, Reggie?
Well, my brother Clarence told me that Zion be a sex freak. So I mean, they say that. He raped a woman two times, but JR, you can't do that.
Well, you're not supposed to do any of that, Reggie, but these are all allegations. And thank you, Reggie, for calling from Baton Rouge. These are all allegations against Zion. My ultimate point was, I don't think anybody's saving Zion Williamson. Botcher, is there anybody saving Zion but himself? Is there anybody?
Maybe if you send him to the most perfect organization ever, which there isn't any in the NBA. So no, he's cooked.
Yeah, Zion is, there's nothing going to change Zion, but Zion, I don't even know if changing a city is going to make a difference for Zion Williamson.
He's too big of a star.
In what regard?
That people know him. He was the number one pick, Duke legend, you could say, and he didn't win anything, but people know him. He'd say he's talented. So if you put him anywhere else, he's not going to go to a quiet place where, like, nobody's going to bother him. New Orleans itself is in a really, really big market, and he's still doing all this.
Yeah, but I don't think it's necessarily the market size. I think part of that has to do with it. He has plenty of national pressure. And I know the people down in Louisiana, shout out to everybody listening on WWL. And I know the city is sick of Zion. It is not a huge market. It is certainly one of the biggest party towns in the country, period. It's one of the best food towns. I certainly love Louisiana. I think we got the best food. I said we. Sorry. It's saying too much. I think Louisiana has some of the best food in the entire country, and that certainly hasn't helped Zion. And I think so part of the fact that before the real criticism, he was able to fly under the radar and you can hang out in Louisiana, you can hang out in New Orleans, and you can keep it on the quiet. It, unfortunately, everything that's ever happened to him has now bubbled to the top. And so whether it's all these unfortunate issues that have come to public light with women and now these recent allegations, his weight, his injuries, if Zion were to go to another city, if he was ended up in Chicago, would he all of a sudden, I don't think it's about the celebrity, but would he all of a sudden just be happy? Would he all of a sudden just go, oh, now I'm going to focus? Does he need a new start? I just think he got his money. Like, there are a lot of athletes who can eat themselves out of a job, eat themselves out of a contract. And Zion had a whole entire clause. He's already lost money. with his weight issues. I just don't know if going to another city would fix things. Like, what would Zion's career look like if he did end up on a New York Knicks or Lakers? Would he be different than ending up in New Orleans? I have no idea. I just know that he is in so deep right now. We talked about it last week. This is real different than when he got drafted. He stood right next to his mom and talked about how important she was in his development and making everything happen. It was a dream to be selected number one overall. And I mean, now, just over these past couple of years, everything involving Zion has just been a nightmare. And that's why I said it last week. People beat the hell out of LeBron. The guy's been a public figure. People may not like his stances on certain things. I totally get it and understand. Could you imagine if some of the things we've been hearing about Zion in the matter of 5 and 6 years, we've heard about LeBron over the course of 20 plus? The answer is no. And so I know Reggie down in Louisiana wants Tom Thibodeau to fix Zion. Not happening. Not happening at all. We got Marco Belletti here. Hey, Marco, how you feel about Tibbs getting a boot? I think it's just normal Nick behavior.
You know, I'm struggling with this one because I didn't see it coming. Usually it's like, oh, you know, I could cut. I did not see the Knicks doing this for the simple reason of, one, obviously the success and the fact that he took over a flaming dumpster fire before he got there, but the fact that he's so close to his best player in Jalen Brunson. Brunson loves him. And not just the Josh Hart.
His dad is on the
yeah, and you know culture. What? Let's be fair. Whoever's coaching the Knicks next year, Rick Brunson's still going to be on that staff. So that part of it aside, Jalen is his best player, and he loves him. I'm surprised that the Knicks would pull the plug this fast. You told me after next year, if they didn't make an NBA Finals, they didn't win a title. All right, I get it. You want to move over. You want to get over the top. You think the Tibbs is holding back Karl Anthony Towns or somebody else can get more out of him. Okay. For 1 year, with the moves that they made, the fact that he's as close as he is to his best player, they got to an Eastern Conference Finals for the first time in 25 years. They ousted the defending champs in 6 games, which no one saw coming. I'm surprised.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's the Knicks. I'm not going to be too surprised about this.
Can I say something, though? And then you're yes. Right. But the hire that comes now will make me know whether it's Jim Dolan that made this move or if it was Leon Rose. And the reason I say that, if the Knicks, some of the scuttlebutt now, I mean, there's you hear all the names, the Jay Wrights, the Michael Malones, the Dan Hurley, right? The big names, right? That screams James Dolan. If the Knicks go Johnny Bryant and give a first-time head coach this team with aspirations of a title, being an assistant, that screams to me Leon Rose didn't believe in Tibbs anymore and wanted to turn it over to one of his assistants before he lost him.
Yeah, I think ultimately, of course, this came down to Dolan. Like, it's just how could it not? They said that the man sat in on player exit interviews, and I guess somebody opened up their yap about how a couple of guys were not happy. And I mean, Dolan has said he has talked out of both ends of his body. Let's put it that way for a long time. I'm not involved. This guy, he's always trying to explain things away.
I just don't see him. If they hire Johnny Bryant, do you see that as a James Dolan move? That strikes me as he backs whatever Leon Rose wants to do. But you know what I mean? Like,
no,
Dolan wants shiny objects. He doesn't know who Johnny Bryant is.
Haven't said that, though. I could care. And I had a caller ask. I could care less who coaches the Knicks. Okay. Like, let me know what depth they put onto the bench. Like, they had it tough last year. This is why I'm kind of shocked at some of the responses here about the Knicks bench. Like, their bench, ultimately, outside of figuring out what you do with a Mitchell Robinson, who I would never trust. You need to be thrilled at what you just got out of him in the playoffs. I would never trust him for a full season or playoff run again. But when you look at the bench, it's like, what do I throw out there? Miles McBride, Landry Shamet, like a bunch of smaller guards. Like, everybody knew bringing in Karl Anthony Towns before the season, You lost some depth. Everybody knew that trading for Mikal Bridges, you lost some depth. And so now all of a sudden we get to the end of a playoff run for the New York Knicks, and it's, well, Tom Thibodeau isn't utilizing his depth. I agree. I think there's some times where he could have thrown Landry Shamet out there, especially later in the season when he was healthy. But I'm not thinking that that's going to be some major difference maker. There is a big depth discrepancy when you take a look at the New York Knicks and the teams that are still playing and some of these other squads. So I'm less concerned about who's coaching the team. Let me know who's going to play on the squad next year. That's going to say more to me.
No argument for me, and it is funny because, you know, every Knick fan that's screaming, how did you not know DeLon Wright and Landry Shamet could give you these minutes? Nobody wants to talk about a 17-point lead in the fourth quarter when you had the game wrapped up in game one. Was that on Tibbs? Was that because you didn't have DeLon Wright in the lineup, or was it because every one of your starters vomited on themselves? There are times where he makes mistakes. Yes, there are all coaches that, you know, nobody's infallible, but it is funny how all the moves that he made against the Celtics where he completely outcoached Joe Mazzulla, by all accounts, he became an idiot when he went up against Rick Carlisle. Or maybe he just didn't have the bullets in his chamber with guys like DeLon Wright being the answer. That's not a good question if DeLon Wright's the answer.
So I'm like, hey, everybody knows this is who you coach, man. I'm like, and Knicks need players. I don't care who's coaching the team next year. Hope Tibbs enjoys his checks, okay? It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network, 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about a few things that took place this day in sports history. But right now, you just heard his voice. It's time for a news flash with Marco Belletti.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. 888-710-4ISN. That's 888-710-4ISN. Man, we've reached that point of the show. It's time to take a look at a few things that took place this day in sports history.
Back in the days when I was young, I'm not a kid anymore. But some days I sit and wish I was a kid again.
It's time for this day in sports history.
You see, back in those days,
we had radio and you couldn't see anything. And it was primitive and lousy and we liked it.
On the JR Sport Brief Show.
I wish I was 50 years younger and I'd kick your ass.
It is the JR Sport Brief Show here with you coast to coast on the Infinity Sports Network. Today is June 3rd. It's been June 3rd all day long. Let's go back in time. June 3rd, 1991. Oh, man, I love watching this guy as a kid. The Hitman, Tommy Hearns. He beat Virgil Hill for his final title. This took place in 1991. It was his fifth and final championship, a 12th round decision to pick up that light heavyweight title. Let's take a listen.
And here are the score totals. Judge at ringside, Chuck Ciampa scores the bout 116-112. Jerry Roth and Art Lurie, they both agree. They both score the bout 115-113. All three in favor of the winner. And the new light heavyweight champion of the world, Thomas Hitman Hearns.
Yeah, it just sounded like Jimmy Lennon Jr. A little bit of the throwback right there. That was in 1991. Hey, June 3rd, 1992. This was NBA Finals Game 1. Michael Jordan taking on the Portland Trailblazers. You might remember the iconic Michael Jordan shrug. Well, it came from this game. Game one. Bulls won 122-89. Michael Jordan had 39 points, 11 assists. He then at that time hit a record 6 threes in the first half. And then he looked at Magic Johnson, who was calling the game, and he just gave him that shrug. Let's take a listen, courtesy of the NBA.
Pippen, two men to beat, right for the basket.
An NBA Finals record. 5 three-pointers in a half.
The Marvelous One. Yeah, at that point in time, nobody knocking down threes like that. This was not a Steph Curry era. Let's just knock in a bunch of threes. Yeah, Michael Jordan, as you all know, yeah, they beat the Trailblazers. Michael Jordan won his second championship at that point. We love Michael Jordan. June 3rd, 1992, Michael Jordan hit us with the shrug. Let's move forward. June 3rd, 1995, one of the greatest pitchers of all time. He threw a perfect game and then some. Well, he was almost perfect. Pedro Martinez, pitching for the Expos. Pedro Martinez pitched 9 perfect innings against the Padres until he got to the 10th inning. He already struck out 9 guys. It was a double by Bip Roberts that broke up Pedro Martinez's perfect game. He still went on to win the game 1-0 against the Padres. Let's take a listen to Pedro losing the perfecto.
Pedro Martinez makes his bid for a perfect game. We're in the 10th inning, 1-0 Expos. A ball and a strike to Roberts. Roberts lines a ball right field. It's going to drop in. Extra base hit for Bip Roberts. He has a double, and the bid for the perfect game comes to an end in the 10th inning. 95 pitches thrown by Pedro Martinez.
Yeah, Pedro Martinez, he still got that W. He's still one of the greatest pitchers of all time. Now a funny commentator. I guess that's what happens for most great players. Hey, June 3rd. Yeah, there's a lot. June 3rd, 2012. Oh, this is some good news. Tiger Woods, he won the Memorial Tournament. It happened to be his 73rd PGA Tour victory. And at the time, it tied Jack Nicklaus for second all time. Yeah, Tiger Woods. It's always nice when you can mix in some good news with Tiger Woods. Let's take a listen to this big shot he hit at hole number 16. This is courtesy of CBS.
But I'd say anything inside of 6 feet would be a wonderful shot.
Oh, I guess.
Straight up. Oh, yeah, look at this, Peter. Look at this shot. Look at this. Might go in. Might go in. Might go in. It is in. He couldn't chip it in on 14, but he did it here on 16. That was incredible.
Yeah, I mean, shoot, it was only about last week. I feel like Tiger Woods was on a This Day in Sports History for being arrested on a DUI. It's all about balance, folks. And yes, please don't drink and drive. How about this? June 3rd, 2018. Steph Curry. This man knocked down 9 threes in a finals game against the Cavs. This man said, Ray Allen's record is my record now. Cavaliers lost 122-103, and Steph Curry, well, he did Steph Curry's things. Listen to this.
Curry's going to have to put it up, launches it up, shot clock. Oh, he knocks it down!
Steph Curry handling, recognized the clock is dwindling down. It actually looked beautiful in the air. My goodness, mama, there goes that man.
He finds Green, back to Curry, three-pointer, puts it in, and a foul! Curry way outside, another three, Steph Curry has set a finals record. 17 from downtown. 33 points, 8 assists, 7 rebounds. A dominant Steph Curry.
And we all know the 2018 Golden State Warriors. Well, yeah, they won the championship. Like, they swept the Cavs, got them the hell up on out of here. And there you have it. Yeah, those are a few things that took place this day in sports history. Busy day, even in sports history. Tomorrow we get game one of the Stanley Cup Finals. This should be a fun one between the Panthers looking to make some more history of their own against the Oilers. We got to wait almost 48 hours before we get to game one of the NBA Finals. And so this is championship season. The next thing you know, we blink and we're staring at baseball. And then next month, we're staring at NFL minicamp. Bartram, am I missing anything? That's pretty much it, huh?
Olympics? No, that's not. There's like maybe flag football or something. I don't know.
Oh, no. You got to wait 3 more years for that, man. 3 more years.
There's got to be something else.
No. 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 Nothing else. It's baseball. Olympics, man. What Olympics? Where you been? We was in Paris last year.
Winter training. I don't know.
Winter training.
X Games.
X Games. Maybe. X Games used to be big. I don't know if it's still the case. Have you ever been to an X Games before?
Nope. Man. Is Shaun White still doing his thing?
I don't know. Is he skating or snowboarding? I don't know.
I don't know. Tony Hawk? Is he in like 60?
He might be older than that, man. I don't know. Not a fan. X Games is pretty good. If you could ever, it may be too late, but X Games was great. I think ESPN ruined that. Maybe that's why Shaq is afraid of what they might do to his show. Don't worry about it, Shaq. I think you will be A-okay. Hey, thank you to Russell Baxter for joining us. Covers the NFL, writer and historian. Thank you as well to Rylan Styles for coming through. Covers all things Oklahoma City Thunder for Sports Illustrated. Hey, if you missed a minute or a second of the show, you missed those interviews, go ahead and hit rewind on the free Odyssey app. The JR Sport Brief Show here on the Infinity Sports Network is done. It's a wrap. We'll be back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Of course, with a new top six list. Hopefully, no coaches get fired. Please be safe, be well, be cool, be smooth. Don't move here on the Infinity Sports Network. Bart Winkler is coming up next. Thank you, Baja.